Good morning. I appreciate that you're here and joining the word of welcome as we have visitors, and we're especially glad that you're with us this morning. And I invite your attention to God's word in just a moment. We are going to, as we've been singing, and in fact in our class as well this morning, been talking about prayer. We're going to turn our attention to not merely the fact that God answers prayer, as we've sung about. We're convinced of that, but how is it that God wants us as His children to have prayer in our lives? If you're not a Christian, you need to understand something about prayer that's very crucial and very important. Because many people in the religious world will advise you that if you have faith that Jesus is the Christ, then what you need to do is, with a repentant heart, pray, and you'll become a Christian. That Jesus will enter your heart based on a sinner's prayer and save you from your sins. I want to advise you this morning that is not taught in the New Testament. That's not what we are advising to you today. Because that's not God's will for how you, who are lost in the world, are saved from your sins. Prayer is a particular spiritual blessing available to Christians in Christ Jesus. But for one who is outside of Christ, it's imperative that first you become a child of God. If you're going to be able to call upon God as your Father in prayer, you must first enter His family. You must be born again. John 3:3-5. Born of water and the Spirit, Jesus said. To accomplish that, it is the Spirit of God who has revealed truth for us to have faith in Christ as the Son of God, a faith that compels us to confess that faith and to repent of our sins against God. Having done that, Jesus says to be baptized for the remission of sins, as He sent His apostles into the world with that message, Acts 2:38. And so we encourage you this morning, if you are not a Christian, not a child of God, to become one in God's way. In faith, repent, confess your faith, and be baptized into Christ. And He will wash your sins away. He will add you to His church. And as a member of the body of the saved, of the redeemed, prayer will be a great blessing that you have in Christ. Part of the great seasons of refreshing from the presence of God Himself is that we as His people can petition the throne of God and know that we are heard. And as we pray according to His will, know we have our petitions with every confidence of a child approaching the Father, as Jesus taught and as we'll see in a moment. Brethren, as Christians, we want to be aware in our study this morning that it may well be that our prayers are not effective because we're not praying as we ought. Because when we left our room this morning, we didn't think to pray. That when we face the circumstances of life, day by day, we don't petition God's help. It may be that even when we eat a meal, we don't pause long enough to thank God for the good food that we're about to eat that comes from His hand. And yet we wonder why the blessings are not present. We wonder why things seem unbearable at times. Brethren, in our study this morning, we want to focus upon our own lives and whether or not we are really receiving the blessing that prayer is and can be and ought to be in our lives as the people of God. In 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and I believe verse 7, Peter said that we ought to be sober or serious and watchful in prayer. Colossians 4:2 says something very similar, being vigilant and continuing in prayer. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says. But prayer is not a mechanical thing that is done, but rather it is an appeal for us to communicate with our Father in heaven. Now, some of us, I suppose, are better communicators than others. We need to work on communication because it is central to any effective and successful relationship. And as we consider and understand, as we know that God has spoken to us in His Son, in the inspired Scripture, we also understand that prayer is the Christian's communication to God. That it is based upon, as we'll see in a moment, it's based upon the fact that we have a relationship with God in Christ. And so we must give ourselves to the practice of prayer, to the habit of prayer, to the life of prayer. When we say habit, we mean that in a positive way. Don't mean it as some vain repetition, but rather as the habitual exercise of something that really is just a part of who we are. Jesus learned obedience by the things which He suffered. The one who practices righteousness does not practice sin. We choose a course of life. And as Christians, we are to be choosing prayer in our lives. James says there's a reason to that. Among others, he says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. There's power in prayer. There's power in the prayer of righteous people. John wrote about that. That's what we're talking about in our class this morning, in 1 John 5th chapter. There's power in prayer because of the righteous ones, because God hears the prayers of the righteous. He attends to what they say, what they supplicate, what they request, what their appeals are. God is attentive. And what a magnificent thought and reality that is for Christians, is that God attends to us when we speak to Him, when we pray to Him. People pray to so many things that are no gods at all. Images of wood and stone and metal, crafted by the artisan, or they pray to themselves, or they don't pray at all. But God's people are to be fervent, watchful, serious in prayer. So you see, as Cameron read for us in Luke the 18th chapter a moment ago, when prayer loses its place in our lives, it's because we lose our faith in God. You see, the fundamental point of that parable is persistence in prayer. That as the judge listened to the widow and brought her justice, God listens to His people when they pray. That it is our prayer that is an expression of faith. When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? That statement's not out of place. It is integral to the point of that parable. That we ought always to pray and not lose heart, not be discouraged. Because you see, prayer is an expression of faith. Brethren, if we're not praying in our lives, there's something wrong with our faith. And are we willing, first of all, to acknowledge that? Because we have to acknowledge that if we're going to improve our faith. If we're going to address the problem. If we're going to become effective or more effective in prayer, we have to humble ourselves before God and admit that because I'm not praying as I ought to pray, my faith is not what it ought to be. And I want to change that. I want to deliberately increase faith. You know, the disciples said to the Lord, "Lord, increase our faith." As if, you know, open the head, pour it in, you know. Our faith is increased as we serve God and serve the purposes of God. And as we rely upon Him, prayer is an expression of our reliance upon God. You see, if I am not praying, it means at some point along the way, I've forgotten to rely upon God. Because if I were relying upon God, certainly I would be praying to Him. That will be established in the Scriptures very easily as we go through our study. So let's look at some of these points from God's Word. This essential point, we mentioned a minute ago, prayer is based upon a relationship with God. Where there is no relationship with God, there can be no effective prayer.
And if there is not effective prayer occurring in the lives of Christians, it means that we have failed to nurture that relationship as we should. You see, it's ineffective and futile if we do not have a relationship with God. That's why the person who's lost in sin, who is not a Christian, does not pray for salvation. He's out of relationship with God. God didn't say prayer is the way you come into the relationship. He said prayer is the cause of the relationship. I want your sins washed away so that you have fellowship with me, God says, in the Son. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, God calls us into the fellowship of the Son. The gospel calls us into that fellowship with God through Christ so we can pray. That's what Jesus said when they said, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, pray our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. The one who has given us life from the death of sin. Not merely our Father because of creation in the flesh, but our Father in the Spirit. The Father of our spirits, who has given us new life in the Son. Galatians 3 and verse 26 says, you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. To be a child of God is imperative. It's essential if we're going to be able to pray. If our prayers are going to get to God Himself, it's going to be because there's a relationship established with God through Jesus. And that comes from, of course, becoming Christian. But before we get to that exactly, let me just emphasize this point with you. Go to Matthew 7 with me for a minute. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 12, 7 through 11. You see, prayers are the petitions that grow out of the relationship that we have as the children of God with our Father. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and he who knocks it will be opened. But what man is there among you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him? Jesus is speaking about citizenship in the kingdom of God. And now, in that context, he speaks of those citizens of heaven as children of God, God the Father. And so he says, God will give you good gifts if you ask Him. You see, it's based upon the relationship that we have with God as His children that we can pray in the first place. Galatians 4, 6 and 7 says we've been adopted into the family of God. Our birth, this new birth in Christ, to be born again, he says we've been redeemed and we've been received and we've received the adoption as sons, verse 5, and because your Son, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba Father, or Father, Father, an expression of intimacy, of closeness, of dependency, of this close relationship now that we have with God, whereas before we were slaves. He says, but now no longer a slave, but a son, a child. And if a child, if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We are now heirs of the inheritance of eternal life, heirs of our Father's inheritance. You see, it's because of that relationship we have with God that we can pray then. And that God expects us to pray. God wants us to pray. Is there a parent here today who does not long for their child to speak to them, to come to them, to talk with them, to communicate with them? Any parent here that doesn't want that of their child? Now, relate that to God and His children. Is it too hard for us to imagine God waiting to hear from us, but we don't pray? Longing to commune with His children, but His children are too busy with other things than His. Of course, occasionally when they need something, they turn to Him. But not on a regular basis, and because they've forgotten about the relationship. Because they have not nurtured it, they have not honored it as God expects it to be honored, and because it should be honored. Prayer. It's because we have a relationship with God, and it's because we fail to nurture that relationship with God, our Father, that we don't pray. Prayer becomes something very foreign to us when it should be something very dear to us. You see, we are in fellowship, in communion. See, commune, communicate, communication. It's about sharing. It's about the association. Our Father hears our prayers and answers us. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. Of course, John 9:31, when Jesus had worked a great miracle, the man upon whom the miracle had been worked said, We know that God doesn't hear sinners. It was proof to him that God was with Jesus. God doesn't hear. He doesn't attend to the pleas and prayers of sinners because there's no relationship there. That's his point. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God attends to our prayers. His face is toward us if we do righteousness. Could that be the problem? Could part of the problem is we don't nurture prayer in forgetting the relationship with our Father is because we're too consumed with sin? Or at the very least, other priorities than Him, which in the final analysis becomes sin. Could that be the problem? If it is, as a Christian, you know the solution. A change of heart. Repentance. So that you can confess the sin in prayer and be heard and be answered. For God wants to forgive that sin. God wants to strengthen you. God wants to forgive it. And He wants that relationship that prayer expresses. You see, it is a spiritual blessing for the Christian. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Prayer has to top the list, I suppose. I don't know if you can say there's a top of the list. They all combine. But surely prayer is a great expression of the fundamental favor that we have with God that we did not have outside of Christ. And so we pray. He says, in everything, in nothing be anxious, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your heart and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. It's because of the relationship we have with God in Christ Jesus that we have the protection of God as we supplicate Him, as He hears us, as He answers our prayers. Hebrews 4 and verse 16 says, we can come before the throne of grace and find mercy, find grace to help us in time of need. Prayer, because of our relationship with God. Brethren, if we're going to ever pray effectively, we must give attention to the relationship that we have with God. Not take it for granted, but honor it. Commune with our God, our Father. And then prayer becomes a great blessing to us. One that God has given to us. Let's look at three basic aspects of prayer this morning. Prayer is an appeal. It is an appeal that we make. Sometimes we must pray prayers of pleadings to God. Ephesians 3 and 20 says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To Him be glory in the church by Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I pick that up in the middle of a prayer that Paul's praying. Verse 14 began that prayer. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's pleading on their behalf. Verse 16, that he would grant you. He's making an appeal, and he makes that appeal on the basis of God's great power, his overflowing ability. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Brethren, when we pray, do we understand that is the God to whom we are praying? We are praying to the God who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. We are praying to the God who spoke, and everything we see came into existence according to His very word. It was so. The God who holds all things together. This is the God that we bow our knee before. Could it be when we pray we are far too casual, far too thoughtless? It becomes far too ritualistic without a heart that recognizes God and understands that it is through His care that we exist, through His power, that the prayer and the appeal that we make will be answered. It's His power. Now, the faithless person does not understand that. But people of faith know and are assured in the Word of God that God is hearing and God is answering. In the circumstances of life, it's not about asking God to perform some miracle in the definition of the Bible of a supernatural change of the ordinary events, but to use instead the ordinary events of life to bring about the blessing. That's God's providence. That's God's answering the prayer today. You see, when we pray for the healing of someone sick, James said, apply the medicine and pray to God. James 5. We apply the medicine, we pray to God. We ask His blessing, we ask His care, and He answers prayer. Nehemiah, the king's cupbearer in the first and second chapters of Nehemiah, wanted, Jerusalem was in tatters, it was in shambles, the wall had not been rebuilt. He's the cupbearer to the king, Artaxerxes, the Persian king. And it says there that he petitioned God. You know, he wanted to go back and rebuild the city, rebuild the walls. And it says, for example, verse 8, here's a part of the prayer he is praying that began in verse 5. Well, verse 4, it says, when I heard that Jerusalem was in reproach and broken down, that he says, I fasted and prayed and wept and mourned many days. And then there's a record of his prayer there. And you drop on down to verse 11. Here's the point I'm going to make. O Lord, I pray, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servants. Into the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, that is the king. Now, here's an appeal. Nehemiah makes an appeal to God. The God who is great and awesome, verse 5. You read that verses 5 and through there. We don't have time this morning. Read that and you see the honor and reverence that Nehemiah had for God. He understood who God was and who he's praying to. And now he asks, please be attentive. Listen to this prayer. Listen to, and those who fear you, listen and prosper me this day. And so as Nehemiah is saddened before the king asks him, why the sad countenance? And I mean, that was just, to be sad before the king was just not something to be done. He'd never done it before. The king saw the difference. And he asked him, what was the problem? What was wrong? And the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, verse 4. Prayed to God. You keep reading through it and you see that God answered the prayer. Look at verse 8. The end of verse 8, he said, the king granted them to me, according to the good hand of my God upon me. He asked for the provisions and the opportunity to go back to Jerusalem. And he acknowledges God answered it. He made an appeal. He trusted in God. There was not some miraculous event that accounted for the answer. It was that the king heard him. The king accepted what he said. The king agreed. The king blessed him on the way. Gave him the provision. You see, there's the answer in a very ordinary process of events, but God was behind it, Nehemiah said. God answered prayer. When we appeal to God, it is God at work. You see, Elijah prayed that it would not rain. It didn't rain for 3.5 years, James said. And he prayed again and the rain came. Prayer moves God to action. It's an appeal toward that end. One person said the possibilities of God, of prayer are gauged by faith in God's ability to do. Could it be that we don't ask because we don't think God can do? We wouldn't say that. We wouldn't admit that. Would we? But could it be that we don't pray because we don't think God either could do it or would do it? Neither of those, if it's according to His will. You see, that's what we pray. According to Your will. The power of prayer is that it activates the power of God. Not in the fact that we say particular words, but as a genuine expression of our faith in God and our reverence for God, our dependency upon God, and the faith that we have in His power. So it becomes an appeal to the power of God. Another man said, prayer is not getting God to do my will. That's important. Prayer is not about getting God to do my will. It is about asking that God's will be done in my life, in every part of my life, and in the lives of others, as we petition and supplicate and request. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Jesus said, teaching us to pray. So prayer is not about getting God to do my will. And maybe that's why our prayer is not effective, because maybe we've thought that praying is about getting God to do what I want. Instead of recognizing and seeing that prayer is about appreciating that God's will shall be done and that our heart is to be given to that, and then petition God on that basis. That according to Your will, Father, would You please do this and do that. God hears and God answers according to His will in that context. Prayer is an appeal to God, an expression of faith. Prayer is a request. A request or a supplication. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, it can be a plea. It can be now that we ask on behalf of ourselves or others. When He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God knows that we have requests. It's not a wrong thing to have requests of our Father. Children ask things of their Father. Matthew 7:7-11. You see, in prayer, we ask such things as for forgiveness as His children. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. As Christians, we're able to repent and pray that the thought of our heart be forgiven. So in prayer, as Christians, we often pray asking God, requesting that God forgives us. We ask God, for example, for His blessings. We petition or make a supplication for ourselves and for others. Ephesians 6. Look at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We pray for the people of God. We make requests. And He says, pray for me. Ask God on my behalf, He said, for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul asked them to pray for him. It's right for us to ask each other to pray for one another, to pray for each other. To make such requests is a part of prayer to our Father then. Pray. There's a right place to pray and make requests concerning material things. Our workbook in 1 John, the author made the point, we pray for what we need. We pray out of need, not out of greed. Pray out of need. See, Father, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day what we need. Supply what we need. Could it be our prayer is ineffective because we start praying for what we want instead of what we need? We begin expecting God to give whatever it is we want instead of relying upon the truth that He's promised He will sustain us by giving us what we need in our lives. So that our faith is in Him rather than in ourselves. Matthew 6, look at that, verses 31 and 32. Matthew 6, 31 and 32. He said, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your Father, your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God knows our needs. What we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear. He supplies those. But it's entirely right and proper that we make such requests because Jesus said, pray, Father, give us this day our daily bread. We depend upon You. Prayer is a request recognizing the dependency we have in God. Could it be our prayers are ineffective because we've forgotten to depend upon God? We live in such an affluent and opulent society. We live in such a material-based society, whether a little or a lot. I mean, people around the world, it's true, but you know, whether you have a little or a lot, you can be greedy. We can forget God with a little as well as we can forget Him with a lot. The point is, as Christians, as the children of God, our dependency is upon Him. And so we pray with such requests, and it's right to recognize He is the giver. He is the giver. A spiritual blessing. We make appeals for spiritual blessings, certainly, don't we? The peace of God that passes all understanding. That can't be quantified with dollars and cents. I mean, you know, give me $100 worth of peace of God. Can't do that. But you see, there are great spiritual blessings that attend the relationship of God and the prayers as we make such requests to God that He hears. Look at the example of wisdom in James 1. Here's just one example of what we're talking about. James 1st chapter, verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God will give you wisdom, he said. As a Christian, you ask for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. Now, when we ask in faith, that means we'll be doing our part as well. We're going to be assessing the circumstances of life within the context of truth and God's will to make decisions that then bear the marks of wisdom. Let him ask in faith, no doubt, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Ask in faith. Don't be double-minded. That is, ask God, but really you'll have your mind over here in the world or in self and selfishness, thinking that God's going to answer you because you're God's gift to humanity. Now, in faith, in humility, prayer becomes a request before the very throne of God. Prayer is an expression of joyful thanks. In that context, when he says pray without ceasing, don't you see how that it is really the meat between the two pieces of bread. Watch this.
Rejoice always. Joy, rejoice. There is joy expressed in verse 16. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. So here is joyful thanks that it surrounds prayer. If we pray without joyful thanks, our prayers are not going to be effective. Joyful thanks. Acknowledging God, the great giver of all. A grateful recognition of God and God's gifts in our lives. Must attend our prayers. We've got to be thankful people. Thankfulness, gratitude, and respect are lost very often on man because, you see, it's because we begin to elevate ourselves rather than elevate God. David prayed a prayer of such respect there in 1 Chronicles 29. Prayer is an expression of our dependency upon God. Time will fail us to look at all those Psalms, but you just read through the Psalms and time after time after time, you see David and the other psalmists showing their dependency upon God as they pray to Him. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 5, though Paul spoke of widows, when it says, "She who is really a widow, or a widow indeed, and left alone, trusts in God, and continues in supplications and prayers night and day." She's alone. She depends upon God for her existence, for her life, day by day. And she continues in prayer. Again, I suggest, perhaps we are not praying effectively, or our prayer is not being effective because we are in such a state in our lives that we've forgotten to depend on God. We depend on our work. We depend on our intellect. We depend on our skill. And we forget to depend on God. We depend on science. We depend on education. And we forget to depend on God. And so we forget to pray. And we stop praying. And we lose faith. Because, you see, faith is all about depending on God. Trusting Him. So how do we effectively pray? Lord, teach us to pray as John taught His disciples. Luke 11 and verse 1. This is not exhaustive, but let us just remember some of the basics that we talked about this morning. Pray in faith. Let's look at Mark 11, 22 through 24. Mark 11, 22 through 24. In the passage, Jesus says, and He answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Now, Jesus had cursed a fig tree the day before. The tree had leaves but bore no fruit. And He cursed it. And in the morning they passed by and they saw the fig tree dried up in the roots. And Peter remembered and said, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered away." And Jesus answered him and said, "Have faith in God." You see, the people of Israel, the people of Jerusalem had stopped having faith in God. They withered up. God's judgment was bearing upon them because they had leaves as if they were righteous, but they bore no fruit to God, and God's judgment was upon them. So He tells Peter and the other apostles, "Have faith in God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he asks. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them." Oh, now, preacher, wait a minute. You mean the reason you can't move Mount Baker to the sea is you just don't have enough faith? You just need more faith, Dan. If you have enough faith, then you could topple Mount Baker into the San Juans. Is that what he means? I don't think so. You see, it's not the purpose of God that you or I, or any of us, move Mount Baker to the sea. But where there is the revealed purpose of God and the work that He gives us to do, we can do,
When we put our trust in Him and pray to Him about it, He will answer our prayers. You see, that's consistent with 1 John 5:14-15. We know that He hears us when we ask according to His will. And we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. We don't ask God to move Mount Baker to the sea because He's revealed His will, and that's not His will, and we shouldn't be praying about such foolishness. But we ought to be praying in faith about everything God has revealed to us, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and so we hear His Word, we know His will, we pray about those things in faith, and we give ourselves to a life of faith. God hears us, God answers us, and that's our confidence, and that's our boldness. That's how we pray effectively. We don't pray about things we know is not a part of the will of God and expect Him to do something, and when He doesn't do it, then we blame God. That's not prayer. That's selfishness. And that is faithless. Pray in faith. Someone said only God can move mountains, but faith and prayer move God. Faith and prayer move God in the things that He's revealed that are according to His will for us. Just as Jesus in the garden was heard because of His godly fear. And His prayer was answered. God's purpose was accomplished in Him. Even though the cup didn't pass, God's purposes were accomplished in Jesus and can be in you and me as well. You see, we expect our prayers to prevail. How do we effectively pray? We pray in faith, expecting that they will prevail because God hears and God answers. That's how we pray effectively. We have to live in harmony with what we pray. And that same passage in Mark 11:25-26 says, "Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." We have to live in harmony with what we pray about. See, Jesus says, if we're going to pray about being forgiven, then we need to forgive. See? Our life must reflect what we pray. If we're going to pray a prayer of adoration to God, "Oh God, how great You are, how magnificent is Your name," but then we live a life of irreverence toward Him, then we deny His name. See, if we're going to ask for God's blessings, let's be thankful for the ones we already have and have contentment in our hearts for all the great things God has done, is doing, and shall do for us. If we're going to pray, as I said, for God's forgiveness, we've got to forgive others. Because with what measure we meet, it shall be measured back to us. See? If we pray for strength to endure a trial, then let's live by faith. Let's trust that we can endure. See? How do we effectively pray? Well, John said, by being obedient, keeping commands of God. Rebellion forfeits an answer from God. His face is against those who do evil. He will not hear us in such a stage. So, we've got to ask according also to God's will. Now, let me illustrate that point. We've been talking about that a lot this morning, but here's the point. You see, our prayers must honor God's will instead of ignoring it. So, for instance, if I pray to be saved, "Oh God, save me," but I ignore His plan of salvation, then I'm not praying according to His will, and I won't be saved. I'll still be lost. If I pray, for example, you hear about this, hear this a lot of times, pray for the person who has died. And sometimes people ask us, would you pray for this loved one that has departed? Pray for this dead person. But the Bible says when we die, our opportunities for good and evil end. You see, so whereas the Bible says death ends that, and somebody says, "I'm going to pray for the dead," you can't expect those prayers to be heard by God. Well, prayers, because when we die, death ends our opportunities to choose good or bad. Someone says, pray for a miracle. But the Bible says the age of miracles is ended. So that's not praying according to the will of God, is it? You see, this is the precise place where faith and prayer is crucial. The prayer of faith honors what God has said. When we pray in faith, it's because we honor what God has said. We don't pray a prayer seeking God to violate what He said. And that's not praying according to His will. Got to pray according to His will. We have to be persistent. Don't stop praying. Just pray effectively, pray without ceasing. We ought always to pray and not to faint. Look at Luke 11, 5 through 8. Jesus had, after teaching how to pray, He talked about the persistence of prayer, and He told the parable. He said, it's like the man who's in bed with his family at midnight, and the friend comes at midnight, wakes him up and says, loan me some bread. He says, I'm in bed. But he says, though he'll not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence he'll rise and give him as many as he needs. Be persistent in prayer. Don't pray once and forget it. Keep praying. Don't stop. Praying effectively. Because God will bring His justice. God will hear an answer. That's His promise to us. We rejoice in the great blessings of prayer. We must be a praying people, brethren, because our God is a prayer-answering God. Let us pray in faith. Nothing doubting. Live in accord with His Word. Pray according to His will. And keep on praying. God will hear us and God will answer us. If you're not a Christian this morning, we ask you not to pray to be saved, but because you understand you're lost, repent of your sin, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and be baptized into Him for the remission of your sins. And then, being born again, exercise this great blessing of prayer. And as a Christian, if there's sin that needs to be corrected, go to your Father in prayer, 1 John 1:9. Confess it to Him with repentance, and He'll forgive you. We want to help you. If that's your need, won't you come while we stand and sing?
Yes, sir.